If you would, open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, Old Testament, chapter 4. And we're going to take a look at verse 11 here in just a second. As you know, we are in this series, week 8 of the Man on the Moon series. We only have just a couple weeks left. And inside of this section here, we've started off talking about, the moon is just, it's a parallel, it's a symbol of your dream. You know how NASA arrived on the moon, that was something nobody ever thought could be done. But that was a dream put inside of a group of people's heart, and they made it to their moon. They placed their footprint in July of 1969 on the surface of their dream, and that was an amazing moment in human history. And we said everybody has a moon that God created them to go for, a dream that they have been created to launch to. And so we talked about in the first section of this series, what is your moon? And how do you find your dream? How do you find the purpose from which God created you for? And man, we dug into a lot of truths that we pray that you are using for God to uncover your dream. And now we're talking about how do we get there? Once we know what it is, how do you get there? And last week we talked about one of the launchers, one of the primary launchers, the engines, if you would, that take you to your dream. And that word is vulnerability. That if you're not embracing vulnerability, you'll never see your footprint on the surface of your dream. And man, I'm telling you, we got a lot of great response from last week's talk, which was a deep, very challenging talk for us to live in, to be vulnerable people. But number two, what we're going to talk about, a second engine that God uses to take you to your dream is this: accountability. Everybody say accountability. It is very, very important that we understand the importance of accountability in the life of the believer. And so let's kick off the scripture that I believe will take us through this talk here today. It says this, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. The powerful truth behind your word, God, is what we pray every week would come alive in our lives, God, as we install it into our lives, our habits, our decisions, our mindsets, God. Let us live your word, God, not just hear it. So, Lord, we thank you for this. And, God, guide me, I pray, every word I speak, that I would be an echo of what your word is, Lord, to your people here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? That's a bit of a weird scripture to kick off our talk here, because it's not like we're going to be handing sleeping bags out down the aisle right now and go, all right, find somebody, get in there, and we're going to illustrate this here today. But nonetheless, this scripture arrives at a very powerful point. You can't keep warm alone. You ever camped when it's super cold? Like, anybody ever done that, like really cold outside? Or hiked for long periods of time in like a windy, cold, you know, weather scene? Science reveals that wind steals your body heat through convection. Like it literally steals it. And I remember when I was 10, my cousin, who was like this adventure freak, like this guy is a hunter like crazy, so he's really looking forward to next weekend. You know, he's just, you know, and I'm for those of you that are hunting season, I expect you to be here on Sunday. If not, I pray you don't shoot anything. I'm just messing with you. But he's one of those guys, like, man, he is just an outdoorsman, man to the core. And at 10 years old, he's like this. And so we went camping, and I had my sleeping bag, because it was going to be a little cold that night. I had another sleeping bag. I think I even had a little blanket inside of there as well. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I got to be able to keep warm. He goes, real men don't need blankets or sleeping bags. And I'm like, but it's going to be cold out, you know? And he's like, real men don't need sleeping bags or blankets. And so I was like, all right. So I just laid it to the side, and I'm laying there just, you know, and he's over on his side of the tent, I'm over on the other side of the tent. And by the middle of the night, let's just say this. We woke up the next day, you would have thought we were in love. Like, we're just like holding on to each other, like shaking and shivering. We felt like we were going to die. Even though we were in the front yard, we could easily just got up and went in the house. But the adventure of 10-year-olds. But I remember it was awkward at first when we embraced each other. But when I felt the heat of his body, and that sounds weird, I was like, oh, like it helps so much. Even though sleeping bags are just right over there. In this cold, windy world, you need what other people can provide. You need what other people can provide. And that's kind of a setup here for the word accountability. Because what is accountability? Accountability is people that have been placed around your life, that are circled, almost like an arrow, you know, just around your life to keep your dream warm, to keep your dream alive, to hold your life accountable, to hold your feet on the path and to the path that God has placed you on. They are people that are around your life for the purpose of keeping you in the direction that God has called you to go. Now, I want you to understand what I'm meaning here today, because I go over and I comb through each talk that we give here with my wife, and I kind of ask her, you know, what are your thoughts? And she was saying, you know, well, I don't know. I think people may have heard this a lot before. This is a message, it seems, that we bring out a lot here at this church, and I thought, you know what? I kind of disagreed with her, because I'm like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Because she's like, you know, I think that we always say you need to find Christian friends, and you need to find Christian community, but she really kind of helped me specify this. This is not that, what I'm talking about. This isn't, hey, go find some Christian friends and hang out with them. This isn't, you know, just go to a church and just be around some people. That's not what I'm talking about. This is more. Accountability is more than just finding Christians to hang out with. This is deeper. These are people that have been placed around your life for the purpose of keeping your dream alive. We're going to talk about what those people need to be doing to do that here in just a minute. I really appreciate my wife for clarifying that concern, because I don't want you to hear in this talk, get Christian friends. I don't want you to hear that. Because without this right here, without accountability, you will not win this battle for your dream. I hope you just heard me, because this is a battle. Your dream and you, the dream and the dreamer, will regularly come under attack. That's life, friends. And let me tell you something, battles are not won with one. A soldier cannot win a war by themselves. Impossible. They need people around them. Morio preached a couple of weeks ago, and talking about purpose to your pain. There was one point that he made, pain precedes glory. Amazing points. Didn't he do an awesome job just sharing God's word? You don't need to clap for him. His head's big enough. Amen. But what a guy we have in this church in him. What a gift. You know, he struggled like crazy before this week, that weekend. Like that he was under such mental attack that he couldn't do this right here. I mean, his wife can attest. That he told us in staff meeting afterwards, because I wasn't here, I was in Kansas City, and I was like, how'd it go? And he just got real. And he's like, man, I almost quit Journey Church. Like, I was struggling. And I literally almost quit, because I couldn't see myself doing this. Like, that's not me. And all that type of stuff. All these disqualifiers for himself. And he's like, I was going to quit Journey Church. And I'm like, dude, you would never be able to quit this church. Like, if you ever tried to run from this place, there would be hundreds of people that would literally come and just sneak you back in here. Like, you've got too much of an inner circle around your life for your life to leave the calling that God has put you in. So you can try all you want. Go ahead, I dare you now, try to quit. Ain't gonna happen. Because he has allowed around his life a circle of people that exist to hold his feet to the path that God has placed him on. That's a powerful point of what this man has lived out and is living out. So I want to ask you, because we talked about that in the beginning, who is your inner circle? Who are those people that won't let you quit? Have you done it yet? Do you have an inner circle of people around your life that is currently and presently accomplishing this in and for your life? When you came in, hopefully right there in your chairs, you saw this. They're in the seat backs or on the seats. It says this, who is around you? This is an important question to, watch me, regularly ask yourself. Routinely ask yourself, who is around me? I'm telling you, take this home with you. Put this on your refrigerator. Put this on your nightstand or on your bathroom mirror. Put it in your sock drawer, wherever you would regularly see it for this question to be asked, because we need accountability in our lives. Now, when I hear and when you hear the word accountability, please know that I'm not talking about coercive tactics, allowing people to come in and control you with their opinions. I'm not talking about invasion of privacy or bringing others under the weight of someone's taboos or legalistic approaches at how you need to live your life or manipulative and dominating tactics. I'm not talking about that. And again, nor am I talking about the other extreme, finding Christian friends to simply hang out with. I'm talking about developing relationships with other Christians that help promote, that help progress, and help push spiritual reality in your life. I'm talking about developing relationships with other Christians that help progress, that help promote, and help push honesty in your life, that help push obedience to God in your life. Remember the message a few weeks ago with the newborn dream. Your newborn dream needs you to feed it obedience to God. And you need friends that help you do that. You need a people, a circle that helps you come. People that give a genuine evaluation of your walk and relationship with God. We need that because we're sheep. That's what we are. And sheep are prone to wonder. Don't act like you don't wonder. I wonder. And accountability to others is simply one of the ways that keeps us in the pen. One of the ways that God holds us accountable to him. Because left to ourselves, how many know there is great temptation to do mainly what we would want to do rather than what God would want us to do. So here's a practical definition on accountability. When you see this, this is who should qualify for the who, right here. Practical definitions of accountability are people who do these things right here that you see on the screen. People that pray with you regularly. This is what I ask. Do you have this? People that pray with you regularly. People that meet with you routinely. I'm talking more than a movie. I'm talking people that meet with you for the purpose of progressing and pushing and promoting spiritual reality, honesty, obedience to God in your life. People that meet with you regularly, routinely. People that call you out when you're slipping up. I didn't say if you slip up, when you slip up. Not a matter of if. We will all slip up because we are all jacked up, friends. People that call you out when you slip up. People that tell you the truth. How many know we need people to tell us what we need to hear instead of what we want to hear? Now, I would love a bunch of people that would tell me what I want to hear. But friends, I need people to tell me what I need to hear. People that will stand with you. People that will take pride in knowing you. That's love there. And people that are available to you. People that are just a phone call away. Who is around you that's accomplishing this in your life? I mean, this is it. We've already hit the peak of the talk here today. We're headed down right now. Here's the peak. Do you have this happening in your life right now? Here's the peak of the message. That question. Do you have this right here around your life? Think about it. What elements are missing right now that need to be filled in? Because let me tell you this, a large number of Christians do not have this around their life. A large number. Why is that? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. I don't know if you knew that. But why is that, that a large number of Christians do not have this? You know what I'm saying? Like, what causes us to throw the wall up that doesn't allow accountability around our lives? I had this conversation with our staff, just kind of seeking out the answer. And I was asking our staff, I asked each one of our staff members, like, give me a one-word answer. Give me a short answer on why we throw up walls to not allow accountability in and around our lives. And I got three answers from seven staff members, which means some of them gave the same answer. Steve and Morio said the same word right out the bat. They said, sometimes we allow pride to throw the wall up. Pride was their answer. I think we all kind of understand that, right? Where we're like, I don't need a bunch of people staring, telling me what to do. You know, I don't need that. I don't need a bunch of people telling me what I'm supposed to be doing. And you know, I can live life myself, and I can do it all on my own. And, you know, I don't need people telling, you know, and we have that mindset, friends. But how many know that's a prideful mindset? Because let me go back to the soldier. A battle is never won with one. And let me tell you something. If you're letting pride stand in the way of accountability happening in your life, you've given evidence that in your view, we're not at war with an enemy. Because if somebody says, I don't need anybody, then you don't view life as a battle. You've just kind of almost exposed yourself that you're not at war with an enemy here. That Christianity isn't a war. That Christianity is more just a convenient, casual gathering of believers. We love and we frolic, right? And it's just, if Christianity is just a casual convention of believers that frolic, I don't know what this is, but, well, yeah, I don't need anybody either. But it's not. It's a war. Because if you'd solve the war, you'd realize you can't do it alone. I don't know a soldier that would walk out on a battlefield by himself and go, I don't need anybody. Can I tell you, there's no such thing as Christian John Rambos. Doesn't exist in the body of Christ. That's a movie, it's fantasy. You know, where you got a guy taking out entire nations by himself. Still, yeah, I got it. And he's just taking off everybody. That doesn't exist. Let's recognize pride for what it is. It's an enemy to your dream. Don't let pride keep people out. Because I'm telling you, you'll lose the battle every time. Angel gave an answer that nobody else gave, but I love the answer. And it was this, trust. Trust. Who can I trust to be around my life? That's a tricky answer. Because here's the answer. You can trust no one. Right? I think what we think is that these people have to be God-like. And I don't know how many times you see throughout Scripture, Jeremiah, you see it all throughout the Old Testament, that we are not to put trust in the flesh, that we cannot put confidence in the flesh, meaning everybody from the spouse that you live life with to the kids that you raise, to the parents that raise you, to the Christians that circle up around you, to the pastor that leads you, everybody will let you down. Because they have flesh around them. So we cannot trust the flesh. Scripture says there's only one that we can trust, and that's God, right? Because, I mean, the definition of trust is what? Full reliability in someone or something. That's what trust is. And it's impossible to fully rely on somebody. But what we end up doing is we put these Christians, we put these people up at this place that if they let us down, then they're out. And I can't trust anybody. I've been there. You've been there. I think that's a very, very valid point, but that's not what we're talking about. These are not people so much that you can trust. These are people, though, that God has called you and commanded you to do life with. It's a calling to. Again, think about it in a battlefield, friends. Think about it in a battlefield mindset. I understand that the soldier next to me in battle, they don't have it within their power to keep me from getting shot. They don't. They're a person just like me. They're a soldier just like me. But they're going to do their very best. And together we go and do this thing together. And the more you got together, the more you're able to accomplish to get yourself closer to the dream has for you to go. People will mess up, but we do it together. We're an army, friends. This is an army that you need to wrap around your lives. People that aren't perfect, but they're fighting the same battle with you. So if they let you down, it's all right. Now, it's understandable if they are routinely like spilling your stuff all to everybody or just happening on a routine basis, then yeah, find somebody else to fight with. But don't let trust keep you from accountability. Because without them, you can't get to your dream. You can't get there alone. Amen. Number three, lastly. This was my answer. This was Danny's answer. This was Jake's answer. This was Tim's answer. And they all said this word, shame. 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 I said shame, not Shane. Amen. Shane Creasy looked a little depressed there just for a minute. Shame is the mother of disconnect. Shame always gives birth to disconnect. Because here's what shame says. Shame asks the question, is there something about me that if the people around me knew or saw, would it cause them to disconnect from me? Is there something around me? Is there something about me that if they knew, they wouldn't want to be with me anymore? And you know, like, I don't want the real me to be out there. And I think a lot of us understand that. And so what we allow ourselves to do, because we all have hurts, we all have paths, we all have struggles. Think about this. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have a struggle. So right now, there are people in this room that you greatly respect. Can I tell you something? They're not God. They have struggles in their life. They have pasts. But somehow we think that we're the only ones. And so what we allow ourselves to do is drown in our shame. And we allow ourselves to live behind that question. What if there were? If I told them the real me, would they want to be around me? We allow ourselves to drown in that question. We live behind that question, and that produces in us a mindset that says we can't open up to anybody. I can't. That I cannot become vulnerable to anyone, because if they knew the real me, they wouldn't want to be with me, and that's a lie. Let me say it right now. That's a lie. And so what we end up doing, though, is we believe that lie, and we hide our hurt, and we hide our weaknesses, and we hide these battles that we're fighting our enemy with alone, thinking that we can beat them on our own when we simply can't. And shame is a sure path to defeat. You need this, y'all. You need accountability. You see, what the Bible says that you can find in accountability, I want to ask the team if they would to come.